Good morning, Southgate. It's good to see you today. Glad to be in church on the Sunday after Christmas. And if you would this morning, open your Bible to Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 1. Luke chapter 1. We'll look in verse 26 here in just a moment. Next Sunday is the first Sunday of the year. And I don't know about you, but there's no other place I'd rather be on the first Sunday of the year than in church. And so I'm excited for next week. And I'm more thrilled in many ways about the text that I'll be preaching next Sunday. It's Isaiah 43, 1 through 7. And several years ago, God took me through a season of humbling, and he just took me to the mat. And there were some areas of my life that God needed to work on and God needed to chisel out of my life. And God gave me a word, and it was Isaiah chapter 43, verse 7. When God, through the prophet Isaiah, said, "Behold, I will do a new thing." And sometimes our thing has to die before God can do a new thing. And I believe coming out of 2020, we need a fresh word from God. Amen? And I believe that this season, this last year, will not be wasted. I believe that God has a plan, God has a purpose, and God has a way forward for his people. And we're going to kick that off next week. And so whether you're joining us online, thank you for being online today, or whether you're in person, I trust that you'll tune in and be a part of what God is doing here at Southgate, because I do believe that our best days are ahead of us. Amen? And God wants to do some pretty incredible things. In Luke chapter number 1, verse 26, we're going to finish out the story of Christmas. And Robert was supposed to teach this morning, and I was taught as a young preacher to always have a JIC. Does anyone know what a JIC is? Just in case. Just in case. And so he was exposed to COVID. He doesn't have it. I don't even know if I'm allowed to say that he was exposed because of HIPAA, but, I'll deal with that next week when he comes back to the office. Amen? And so he was supposed to preach this morning, and I was actually looking forward to hearing him bring the word, but I'm excited to be here today and thrilled about what God wants us to hear this morning. Luke chapter number 1, verse 26, the Bible says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' And Mary said to the angel, 'How will this be, since I am a virgin?' And the angel answered her and said, 'The Holy Spirit will come up upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has conceived a son, and this is her sixth month, who was called barren.'" And verse 37 says, "For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am your servant. I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now, Father in heaven, again, I understand that we're 2 days from Christmas, and many of us are really just kind of coming out of what we would describe as a Christmas hangover. Lots of friends, lots of fun, lots of food. And Lord, this morning, our hearts need to be anchored to your word. Our hearts need to be guided by your word. Our hearts need to be open and receptive to the truth that's found in the word of God as we step into a new year and a new season. And God, I just pray that, as we've already sung this morning, that the Holy Spirit would meet with us, that the Holy Spirit would encourage and comfort and convict us in any way that he would see fit. And we just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this first statement, it's a good place for an amen, but how many of you would agree that interruptions are the worst? Interruptions are the worst. I mean, whether you're watching your favorite team and the cable goes out right in the middle of a game-defining moment, whether you're in the middle of a conversation and one of your children come up to you, and I believe that moms have that mom audio deficiency syndrome. How many moms know what I'm talking about? Where your kids come up and they're like, "Mom, mom, 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 mom." And moms just have the ability to tune that out, right? And I mean, but interruptions, in large part, they're the worst. In fact, there's nothing more irritating than having your day, and some of you can identify with this, nothing more irritating than having your day interrupted with someone else's drama or someone else's work that they should have done, right? Amen? And our lives are constantly being interrupted. And these interruptions are often unexpected, and interruptions can often be unnerving. Like they get under our skin, they cause anxiety, they cause frustration. But sometimes the unexpected is good, but sometimes the unexpected, those interruptions are derailing. Now, a few years ago, I was hosting we called them back in Chicago, our growth groups, our small groups. And I had a small group at our house, and every week, the outside of the word, the best part of small group is the snacks that people bring. And we had someone in our group bring to our group on a Tuesday night bacon-wrapped something. And I don't know about how you feel about bacon, but I believe that when God created bacon, he was showing off. Bacon is just good. It goes with anything except for what this young lady brought into my house that night. And I walked into our kitchen, and I saw bacon wrapped. And I grabbed bacon wrapped, and I threw bacon wrapped in my mouth, and she wrapped bacon in dates. And it was the worst thing that I had ever eaten in my entire life. It was so unnerving. And I mean, bacon wrapped dates. Now, you talk about the unexpected. It's hard to mess up bacon wrapped, but that was a good shot. You know, the difference is when God interrupts, when God gives the unexpected and it comes to our life, it's almost always for our benefit. It gives us the incredible opportunity for us when God interrupts, when God drops the unexpected into our lap, it's most often for our good. And so the big idea that we want to talk about this morning is this, is that interruptions are God's invitation into a greater purpose. God's interruptions are an invitation into a greater purpose. Now in Luke, Gabriel appears to Mary with some very unnerving and some very unexpected news. He gives her news that changes her life forever. Her life would never, ever be the same. It was unexpected. It was overwhelming. And what we find in the Word of God this morning is that God teaches us that He does His best work when the unexpected arises in our lives. God does some of His best work when the unexpected is dropped into our laps. The Bible offers us hope that He is present and He's working to grow our faith whenever these unexpected moments arise in our life. And so I want you to see, first of all, this morning, and let's just start with this, and that is Mary was interrupted with unexpected news. Mary was interrupted with unexpected news. We see in verses 26 through 29, and then also in verse 34, that Mary hears a word from God, and she hears it through the angel Gabriel. Now, to really understand and feel the reality of and the weight of this context, you need to understand that there hasn't been a prophet or a word from God in over 400 years. Now, the book of Malachi ends the Old Testament. The book of Matthew begins the New Testament. But that gap between the book of Malachi and the book of Matthew, there is a 400-year gap where there was no word from God. There was no prophet from God. There was nothing. And all of a sudden, Mary is living her life, going on about her business, and out of nowhere, boom, the angel Gabriel shows up in her life and gives her an unexpected message. It's amazing to consider that God unexpectedly interrupts the most ordinary people to do His will. And we will see that later, that these people are actually people of faith. People that are just willing to trust God, people that are willing to depend on God, people that are willing to lay their agendas on the altar of God and submit to what God has for their lives when the unexpected news arises. And so I want to ask you this morning, if you're taking notes, please note this question down. And the question is this: are you listening? Are you listening for a word from God? Are you listening for what God might have for you in this new year? What God might have for you in this season? Another way of saying that is this, do you have an ear? Do you have an ear to hear from God? Do you have an ear to hear from God? Now, we just sang about the Holy Spirit this morning, and I wonder, you know, as Baptists, we tend to struggle with the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. And the reality is it's God the Father, God the Son, and God the what? God the Holy Spirit. And I know that, you know, a lot of Baptists are scared of, you know, the whole speaking in tongues and barking like dogs. That was a thing in Florida when I was a kid. You know, all the different, all the craziness that comes along with that. But theologically, Jesus in us is better than Jesus beside us. And I want you to understand this morning that we need to have an ear. We need to have our minds and our hearts and our lives attuned to hear from the Holy Spirit of God. And in this text, we find that there's unexpected news, and that unexpected news will often catch you off guard. When the Holy Spirit speaks to us, when the Word of God convicts us, when God guides us and gives us and drops news in our life that we were not expecting, it will often catch us off guard. Mary in verse 28, 29 is just absolutely taken back. In the verse, she says, "Greeting, O favored one, the Lord is with you." And the Bible says in verse 29 that Mary was greatly troubled. She's taken back, shocked by the appearance of an angel. The angel says, "Rejoice, the Lord is with you." Now, the word trouble in this text means perplexed. It means that she was confused. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, this young woman, likely around 16 years old, finds herself in the presence of an angel delivering to her a prophetic word that would change and alter her life forever. I remember walking through the doors of Southgate the night that we were interviewed. We flew in. We were here for 24 hours. I believe Larry and Benice picked us up from the airport. And I remember my wife and I walking through this facility and going down this back hallway and then them taking us over the rock, and the building just went on and on and on and on. In fact, I was here the other day and I found more classrooms. It was just unbelievable. I wish I had like a map on my phone, right? And I remember going back to the hotel room that night and just thinking to myself, how could God call me to do this? I remember my wife and I sitting in our room that night just kind of crying and weeping and just feeling a sense of being overwhelmed by the task, the unexpected opportunity that God was potentially bringing us into. I imagine in large part, and probably in greater degree, Mary felt this sense of overwhelming responsibility. I want to ask you this morning, have you ever been tasked with something that you just felt inadequate or overwhelmed with? Have you ever felt that way? Maybe it's in a marriage. Maybe it's raising kids. Maybe it's teaching a Sunday school class. Maybe it's going on a mission trip. I don't know, but maybe you're asking questions like, what? Like, how am I going to handle this? And what am I going to do? And what is next? And what's the fallout going to be? And news like this, when God interrupts your life, listen, news like that can leave you confused. It can leave you perplexed. And guess what? It's okay. It's okay to be overwhelmed because God gives us tasks that are typically beyond our ability. God gives us things that are outside of our current ability so that His grace can be demonstrated in the one that is receiving it. Every single step of the Christian life is a step of faith to fulfill God's will for your life. God is working to move us, all of us, you and me and your family and this church, to a place of faith and to a place of dependence. God often needs to interrupt our plans with unexpected news because unexpected news will change your direction. In verses 29 and verse 30, we see in this text, the Bible says she was greatly troubled. She tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." God, and you might know this, is about to redirect her life. God is about to move her into a different direction, into a new season. Mary hears this, but her heart is troubled. Her heart is perplexed. And if we're not careful, we can be tempted to react poorly when God changes our direction and plans to accomplish His will. And the reality is that we tend to respond with fear. We respond with anxiety. We respond with anger, frustration, like, oh, man, What am I supposed to do with this? I mean, this year's been nothing but one pivot after another, one redirect after another, one setback after another. And yet, the whole time, we have a sovereign, providential God sitting on a throne who knows all things. And nothing slips past his omniscient gaze. Now listen, have you ever prayed, God, wake up in the morning, God, use me to do your will today. God, allow me to do your will. And then, after you pray that, you get up and there's an interruption. Maybe you're on your way to work and you get a flat tire and you prayed, God, help me to do your will today. And yet, his will is not always our will. It doesn't always go the way that we want it to go. God often answers our prayer by interrupting our day, our plan, our agenda, and we get frustrated because things don't go the way you wanted or the way you thought. Now listen, when God changes your direction, it will likely expose where you're not trusting him, and it could be an opportunity for you to put greater faith in him and in his will. Let me ask you this. Do you recognize when God is changing your direction? Do you know that? When he's up to doing things like that? Do you see it as a frustration? How do you respond when God interrupts your plans? Now listen, I get stressed out at our house when my wife decides to just change the furniture around. It's just one of those things. Like, I figure if we find a place for the furniture, it should be there for the next 30 years. It just looks good. And I remember, you know, several years ago that she tried to change the furniture. And I, you know, as you get older, you got to go to the restroom in the middle of the night. And I like knowing where things are at so I don't run into them. Can I get an amen on that, right? And if it looks good there now, it should look good, you know, 5-10 years from now. But as a good husband, I try to allow her to move those things around. But you know, the reality is for most of us, we're creatures of habit. We like rhythms. We like things to stay the same. But when we respond in faith, God will often do his greatest work in us and through us. And a life that is trusting in the Word is anchored in unending hope. And so first of all, we see that Mary was interrupted with unexpected news, but she was also interrupted for a greater purpose. And we see in verses 31 through 35 this very truth. Because see, when God interrupts our plans, it's the best thing that can happen to us. And I know you may not feel that way. I remember when the pandemic hit back in March, and I was actually a little excited. I mean, I really was. And I know for some of you, you're thinking, man, why would you be excited for the pandemic? In terms of church, you know what it did for the church? It helped us as a church to realize that church isn't just what we do here on Sunday mornings, but it's how we live Monday through Saturday. I mean, it's how we engage and how we love and how we neighbor and how we live on mission to our community. Man, I got to see my neighbors. I got to hang out with my neighbors in ways that I hadn't in months. And in Chicago, when like December hits, all the way to almost June, I don't even see my neighbors because it's so cold. And I'm talking bone cold. But when the pandemic hit, people just seemed to, in our little neighborhood, in our little community, seemed to be more friendly, more open. And out of that chaos, God created a commission for us to be the church in the world in which we live, and not just in the church building in which we met. Now, Mary was chosen by God to deliver the Messiah who would deliver us, her life, her agenda, her schedule, everything. She was about to get married. All of it was interrupted for a purpose. And when God interrupts your plans unexpectedly, he has a purpose that is far more incredible than you could have dreamed up on your own. Now, don't miss out on the reality that God is always working in the unexpected to redirect your life and to redirect your purpose. And those interruptions are often an opportunity for us to have our doubt revealed and it turned into faith. You see, he will reveal our doubt and he turned it into faith. And look at what Mary says in verse 34. I love this. So honest. I love the word of God. He says in this passage, Mary asks, how can this be? I mean, seriously, Gabriel? She's like, what up, Gabe? How am I going to have a baby? I've never been with anyone sexually. How is this going to happen? Now, listen, that's a legit question from a 16-year-old, right? I mean, that's legit. Gabriel answers her by quoting the prophecy that was given to Isaiah 700 years before. And whenever you have doubts, and whenever you have legit questions for God, he will always take you back to his word. He will always take you back to what he promised. He was showing her how God was going to accomplish what he was saying he was going to do. Now, you know what? The Bible's filled with flawed people. I mean, it's filled with people that have struggled with the promises of God. Even John the Baptist, the cousin of Jesus Christ, who leaped in the womb when Mary entered into the presence of her sister, he leaped in the womb, and as he was in prison, before his beheading, sent word from his disciples back to Jesus, questioning if he was really the Messiah. Now, folks, I want to remind you, as your pastor, I am just that. I am your pastor. I will do my best to imitate and model Jesus Christ to you, but at the end of the day, don't follow me, and certainly do not put me on a pedestal. Follow Jesus Christ. Just yesterday, as a husband, my wife and I were in the car with my mom and my brother and our kids, and she said something to me, and it just sat funny with me, and I popped off at her right in the car in front of everyone. And I had to go back to her and my mom and my brother, and I just had to say, you know, I'm sorry for acting like a fool. And I'm sorry for acting this way. There's no excuse for this. And I want our church to realize today that God uses deeply flawed people. And when God looks to use someone, he's not looking for people that are perfect, but people who are in progress. People that are in progress. Now, some people are such control freaks, and I could certainly categorize myself as one of those. And the smallest change in plans leaves them angry, anxious, and frustrated. And I struggle with this. But our doubt reveals what we need and what only Christ can provide. Now look in verse 31. The Bible says, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb, and you will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus." You know what we all need? We need a rescuer. Someone to rescue us from our sin, our foolishness, our pride, our arrogance, our control. And I mean, Mary would have a son. She would be called Jesus. You know what Jesus means? It means Savior. We needed to be rescued. Gabriel gave Mary what she needed most. Mary didn't need an explanation. She needed a word from God. She needed to hear the promises of God. And this was the promise of Jesus, the rescuer of our hearts, our fears, and our sins. But not only a rescuer, but a ruler. In verse number 32, he will be great and be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. Man, at that moment, Mary needed a Savior who was on a throne that would calm the uncertainty that it was in her heart. And Gabriel reminded Mary and us of our need for a king, not just to sit on an earthly throne or even a heavenly throne, but on the throne of our hearts. We need to recognize that Jesus came to rescue us, but he came to rule, and he reigns, and he's over all the minutiae of our life, over all the irritations that we face, over every unexpected moment that is dropped in our lives. He's ruling and reigning even in those moments. He reveals our doubts and he turns it into faith, but he was going to provide this purpose that Mary was living for, was redemption of those far from God. Mary's task, while difficult, was given so that others could know about the hope found in the Messiah. Mary was tasked with the responsibility of delivering the Christ child. She and Ansus would give birth to the hope that the world needed most. Why would God choose anyone to do what Mary was asked to do? You know why? Because God uses unexpected news and unexpected people to deliver his hope. That's what God does. God uses unexpected news and unexpected people to deliver his hope. It's not unlike God to interrupt what we think is important and give us a task that is greater than our abilities, beyond our comprehension, so that others can experience the hope that is found in the gospel. It's not unlike God to do that. Gabriel told her that her cousin Elizabeth in her old age would deliver a baby. And in verse 36, he said that she would be the virgin mother of Jesus. Now, Ken, man, do you understand the reality of what we're reading here today? This young 16-year-old betrothed woman to a young man by the name of Joseph would deliver the Christ child, never having been with a man, And then he follows it up in verse 37 and says, listen, with God, nothing will be impossible. Listen, I want you to know whatever God has called you to do, there is hope that he will do the impossible through you. He will do things you did not know were possible. We're called to deliver the hope that is the gospel. And if we're not delivering the hope, the message of the gospel, church, can I just ask you this morning, what are we doing? If we're not living out our life on mission, as those who've had our faith, our fears turned into faith, and our doubts turned into dependence, so that others can know the deliverance of Jesus Christ, what are we really living for? Now, the last thing that we see in this passage of Scripture is that Mary was interrupted to submit to God's will. And verse 38, to me, is one of the hardest passages in this entire text. Because in verse 38, Mary says, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Now, friends, I don't know about you, but I like to say that I'm a servant of the Lord until it impositions me. I like to think that I'm one called of God. I like to think that I'm willing to follow Jesus. And I am, most days, until I'm impositioned. Until it's uncomfortable, or until it's hard, or until I don't like it, or until it jams up my schedule or my plans. And Mary, in this text, just says, you know what? Be it unto me according to your word. Instead of being gripped by fear, Mary's heart was anchored to God's word, the word that was being proclaimed. She was able to surrender to God's will because she would trust in his word. And what's fascinating about this entire text is this. There was no debating. There was no questioning. There was only simple faith. There was a surrendering of the heart. There's a surrendering to the word of God. Mary didn't understand everything that was being said. But listen, she didn't have to. Mary didn't have to understand. She didn't have to calculate. She didn't need to reckon in her mind. She just wanted to trust what was being said by her God. Our hope is found when we get to the place where we simply trust God's word for our lives. And this morning, I think the hardest thing for any of us to do as followers of Jesus Christ is to live a life that's yielded to him. I'm going to tell you, it's just hard. It's hard to yield. I mean, I don't even like yielding in my car to other cars, right? I just want to roll my way in my timing and do my thing. I mean, it's just hard to yield, you know? And especially coming from Chicago, you know, and where everyone's going 70 on I-94 and you got to fight for your spot. I don't like to yield. And yet, this is what God is calling us to do. Yield. Pause. And let him be God. God wants us to yield our life, our agenda, our preferences, the way that we think we should be treated. God wants us to yield all of that so that others can know about him. He wants us to surrender our lives, our dreams, our plans, to trust his will, to trust the promise of his word. And I said this a few weeks ago, and I think it's so important for us to wrap our hearts around today, and that is this. Surrendering control is far different from losing control. Surrendering control leads to confidence, and losing control leads to fear. Now, I would imagine, as we've walked through the Christmas story, a lot of the themes that we see in this text and a lot of the things that we've looked at over the last several weeks, to some degree, seem redundant. Do they not? But I think that God, in his sovereign wisdom, knows that we're an obstinate people, and we need to hear the same thing over and over and over and over again. And I think the message that we need to hear today is this, is that we need to yield. We need to surrender to what God is up to and what God's plans are for our life. Because here's the reality. God is willing to strip away everything we might put hope in for security, so that we have nothing else but to put our hope that is found in his son, Jesus Christ. And so this morning, as we end out this year, I believe without a doubt that God's interruptions often lead us to a greater purpose in life. And oftentimes, we don't always know. We don't always understand what that purpose is. We don't know what it's going to lead to. But I do know this, that more often than not, when God interrupts our lives, no matter how insignificant that it is, no matter how significant it is, it's so that God's glory and God's grace can be known to others. so that we can live on mission, so that we can live out the calling of being a disciple of Jesus Christ, a disciple that makes disciples that makes disciples. And this year has been, and let's just be honest, this year in many ways has been a train wreck. I mean, I'm here 3 months in, and I still haven't been able to just do church with Southgate and all of us being together as a church family. I know some of you are still struggling with the fear that has been brought on by this pandemic. Others of you have lost work. Others of you have lost finances. I mean, many of you weren't even able to go and spend the holidays with your family this year. Others have been quarantined. Others have been hospitalized. Over and over and over again, we see setback after setback. And we will waste these interruptions that God has if we don't look at them through the lens of the Word of God. If we don't take a breath and just yield and be still and know that God is God. And this morning, I want to encourage you that if you are struggling to yield your life to Him, I want you to know today that God's interruptions are often an invitation to a greater purpose. And if you'll listen to what God is saying, He will guide you and He will not leave you forsaken in those moments. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want to lead us in prayer this morning. And how many of you would say to me this morning, Pastor, I need some hope because there's been quite a few interruptions in my life this year. There's been some things in my life that I've just been frustrated and angry about, and I've been living in fear, and I've yet to yield and surrender my life to God in these moments, and I want to do that here today. Would you just lift your hand and let me pray for you this morning? Is there anyone that's like that that's in here today? Let me just pray with you, anyone at all. Father in heaven, I just want to say thank you for loving us. I want to thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. God, I want to thank you, Lord, that you do interrupt our lives. God, you step into our moments and you redirect us and get us on the path that we need to be on. Oftentimes we think we're doing the right thing or we're heading in the right direction, but you step in and you make things new. You step in and you lead us to a place, Lord, where we need to be so that we can tell others about you. And I pray, God, that as we step into this new year, that our hearts might be ready to hear from you, ready to listen to you. And we ask it in Jesus' name, amen.